nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is our discussion hour today, and we will be speaking about the international the upcoming International Mine Action Day, which is on the 4th of April. And of course we will be speaking about this aspect because South Sudan is one of the countries in the world that have been so much affected by mines, and also many people have been affected by mines in the country. And to speak about the significance and what is going on in South Sudan about mine action, we have in the studio my guest, Mr. Richard Balter, Senior Program Manager for UNMAS, that is United Nations Mine Action Service, and Honorable Jurkoj Bara Jurkoj, Chairman of the National Mine Action Authority. Welcome both of you on Radio Miraya.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and so on the 8th of December 2005, the United Nations General Assembly declared that 4th of April of each year shall be observed as the International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action. It is called. It called for continued efforts by states, with the assistance of the United Nations and relevant organizations, to foster the establishment of development and development of national mine action capacities in countries where mines and explosive remnants of war continue constitute a serious threat to the safety, health and lives of civilian population, or an impediment to social and economic development at the national and local levels. And also on April, the 4th of April 2021, the International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action will be celebrated under the theme Perseverance, Partnership, Progress, both at the global and the local level in South Sudan. Mine Action organizations join hands on an organized media campaign, which is this discussion now is part of that. Now, let us look at the theme of the International Mine Day, International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action. The issues of the themes focusing on perseverance, partnership, and progress. Let us get the reaction from Mr. Richard.
Thank you. And thanks for that very comprehensive introduction. I think you covered much of what I was going to say. But yeah, it's International Mine Awareness and Assistance Day next week. It's the day every year when, frankly, the United Nations system reminds the world, including the all-important donors, that this problem hasn't gone away. And this year's theme is perseverance, partnership and progress. Perseverance, the problem took a long time to generate, and therefore it takes a long time to address. There's no light bulb solution to the world's landmines problems. I was first here in the 90s trying to clear landmines, and, you know, 25 years later, we're still at it. But now, frankly, the end is in sight, in my view. But it's been a long, hard struggle, and people have persevered. And when I say people have persevered, what I'm really referring to is the close on 1,000 South Sudanese staff who are out there every day, on their hands and knees, digging mines out of the ground, risking their lives to make other people safe. And that's really what IMAD's all about, reminding people they're out there doing some work. So that's sort of perseverance. We're chipping away. We'll go on to how much left later on, I think. Mm-hmm. Partnership, I'm here with our partner, Honorable Yakuch Barach Yakuch, from the chairperson of the National Mine Action Authority, which is the government body that regulates and controls mine action in this country, and we support them in their efforts. Mm-hmm. So there's a genuine partnership going on, and again, it's not just the UN. There are international NGOs and there are national NGOs all out working together and en masse in support of the national authority, mm-hmm. works to coordinate their efforts. But I got to make it very clear, it is those organisations that clear the mines. En masse is a coordinating body, mm-hmm. that supports and facilitates their mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. And progress, yeah, we're making a lot of progress. Last year, we destroyed, between us, the organisations destroyed over 36,000 explosive items.
Last year alone,
that equates to more than 100 items every single day of the year.
Great.
You know, and that's one of the things about mine action. It goes on, it's quite noisy, but it goes on in the background. Everybody hears when there's an accident.
Yeah.
But the reality is, for every 1,000 explosive items, we get to 999 of them first, before there's an unfortunate incident. That's daily work for us. Mm-hmm. So we're progressing.
Yeah, and there is a timeline here that is put as 2026. That is, South Sudan should be free from landmines and explosives by that time. What does it mean for you, Honorable Jurkoj Baraj?
Thank you. Yes, it is. This is a new plan we have done because the contamination in the country has been too huge, and the wideness of the country, landmines were planted everywhere. We were supposed to have finished with the clearance of landmines in this year, 2021. 9th of July 2021. But then when we were being in action doing the real work, it became very difficult a bit for us to complete the year mentioned. Mm. So feeling that we are not going to complete the work, we have requested from the international community that we should be given another time, mm-hmm. and this time is 5 years. Mm-hmm. We are aiming to be finishing on 2026. This is and simply because of that, we are now planning to be doing whatever efforts that we do, so that we have to complete the work of mine clearance in 2026. So this came as a result of us failing not to complete the mine clearance in the country for the reasons I said, that there were too much contamination and so many landmines and yoxos and cluster bombs were thrown down and the others planted and by both fighting groups, that's government of Sudan and the SPLM, SPLA by then.
Mm-hmm. But what's the modality for the extension?
The extension is something that you have to request mm-hmm. from the international community, that there is a body, mm-hmm. Mine Ban Treaty.
Yeah.
They have formed a body. This body must have, if you have finished the work.
Yeah.
In the due time, the time required from you to do, then it is over.
Yeah,
then you must have to request, because we have felt that parts of the work has not yet been completed.
Yeah.
So this is why we are requesting, so that we have to complete the part which is not done.
Yeah. Richard, what do you want to add on that thing?
I just wanted to give a bit more background to it. In 1997, the international community got together and signed the Anti-Personnel Landmine Convention, the Ottawa Treaty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at that time, which was actually when mine action was really in its infancy, there was this, the treaty simply said all signatories will clear all known landmines from their territory within 10 years mm-hmm. of signing the treaty. And history suggests that was a pretty optimistic projection. Some countries have managed to complete their obligations, and it's not just it's destruction of all their stockpiles. There are reporting obligations. Importantly, there's an obligation of all signatories to the treaty to support other countries. Mm-hmm. So it's important because the donors sign up to it. They're locked into assisting the other countries. Mm-hmm. But the big challenge in it is Article 5, which is the clearance of all known areas within a country. And it's, frankly, those countries that have actually been at war or were at war in 1997, it's been a real challenge to complete within 10 years. The majority of countries with what I would call serious mine action, demining programs going on, have all gone back for an extension. And frankly, the worst example of this is the United Kingdom, where I'm from, which had to go back twice for an extension.
Yeah.
With all their resources, that they had to go back twice. Asked first for 10 years, and then I think they asked for 5.
Mm.
South Sudan has asked for 5 years, so we've made enormous progress in this country. And on the extension itself, that was a lot of work that we did in partnership with the national authority. And as I said, round one on the Ottawa Treaty, you've got 10 years. That's it.
Yeah.
Round two, we have to assess, quantify the whole problem, and come up with a coherent clearance plan that matches the resources to the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still, the land is huge, and also it's interesting because even in the UK, in Germany, you still have some of the ordinances from the Second World War. Which are being still discovered here and there.
Every year
doing that. Now, let's look at the how achievable is this, or there might be another kind of extension. How achievable, how realistic is the next deadline achievable? Mr. Barrett.
Thank you. The explanation added by Richard is really to the level, because you talk of, it was just a question of 10 years given, and then the 10 years, you must have to do that work in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
Well, for us to do this work in 5 years to come, it is the efforts. Yeah, that we have to exert more efforts in terms of funding, in terms of the enough manpower to do the work, and then we hope we should not be encountered with another civil war and then any other natural disasters that may face us again. So we think we will be doing this together with UNMAS and the partners that are working in mine clearance. It is a responsibility that we must have to exert our more efforts so that we have to complete the work in the due time.
Yeah. Richard, yeah?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the answer to your question is it's very realistic. As long as there's peace, as long as there's no flooding, as long as the roads stay open, as long as the obstacles that you report on almost on a daily basis don't come in our way.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, when we together drew up this plan, we had to quantify the size of the problem. Look at how each task might be tackled. It really went down to that detailed. How many tasks can be cleared mechanically? How many of them are road tasks? How are we going to clear those? How many need to be done by deminers? How much of this problem is cluster strikes? And given the resources available, we can do it in 5 years, but we need the funding to sustain, and we need peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
And peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you mentioned also some conditions. What are the main challenges in conducting a mine action operations in South Sudan, which is a very heavy operation in terms of cost and human efforts? Yeah.
It is, because we mentioned before, that this question of there are other things that may put some sort of difficulties in doing mine clearance, and this like civil war which we have been fighting. We are hopeful that we will not again encounter this, there will be no any fight that will hinder this question of mine clearance.
Mm-hmm.
You send teams, of course, to the different areas, but should there be any insecurity in those areas, then you cannot do the work the way you really do. Mm-hmm. And then other natural, like if you want to go to Jongole and far north of Jongole, you cannot go now because of the floods.
Yeah.
So we hope natural issues will not come in again, and then there should be peace, so that we have to relax and work collectively with our partners.
Yeah, Richard, you mentioned the amount or the scale of clearance that at the beginning of the program. Now let's have a look at the current situation of contamination in South Sudan. What can you say?
I can say that. Well, first of all, all I can talk about is the contamination we know of. And that's one of the challenges that Mine Action faces, that people do discover new tasks each year, as you said, you know. Just as new obstacles appear in Western Europe and the UK, which I guess counts as Europe now, that dates back, you know, 70, 80 years. In fact, there's contamination there that dates back more than 100 years. It's going to turn up from here, but here as well. But right now, as we look at the country, there are about 350 clearance tasks left. Almost 2,000 have been addressed, and about 350 remain. In total area, there's about 18 or 19 square kilometres left to be cleared. But it's the difficult clearance, and it's just... A lot of it's a long way away. There's stuff right at the top of the Upper Nile. It's hard to get to.
Yeah.
You know, there's a relatively short demining season here anyway because of the rains, mm-hmm. and the effects of that, which, you know, then the difficulties of getting up and down the country make it even shorter. But then we've got this real problem that the war was largely fought south of Juba, mm-hmm. in central Equatoria, and that's where... insecurity remains. So unfortunately, where we've done the most clearance, where we've got the best idea of the problem, it's simply hardest to get there and work safely. I don't think, you know, it's no secret we had a team taken just last week, mm-hmm. In a security incident. If, you know, people could just settle their differences and stop fighting, it would be really, really straightforward. And other, you know, in other countries they've achieved it. It's not It's not such a big challenge. When I started in demining, say, in the early 90s, people were talking about the mines problems in countries such as South Sudan as being a 1,000-year problem. And now we're down to single digits. It really is manageable and achievable.
Good to hear that. Listeners, Radio Mina, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and with me in the studio are officials, one from UNMAS, that is United Nations Mine Action Service, and the National Mine Action Authority. And from UNMAS is Richard Poulter, Senior Program Manager, and also from the National Mine Action Authority is Honorable Jurkoji, Bharat Jurkoji is the Chairman. And we are here talking about the International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action, and we have covered a lot of questions and issues here. Now, I will have a few minutes before we go to the listeners. Now, this is... a heavy, action in terms of cost. The cost is huge, and somebody has to foot the bill for that. And what is the current situation when it comes to the funding for mine action? Who is putting in the money and how? Yeah, let me start with Richard. Yeah.
As with all aspects of humanitarian assistance, it's quite a competitive market. There are an awful lot of demands on the donors. Well, not just with fatigue, there are new demands. You know, COVID wasn't in anybody's plans 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And now it's dominating everybody's plans, you know, and then flooding comes in, and then, you know, the crops don't grow, so there are some very, very urgent needs that, frankly, rightly come to the front of the queue, because, you know, people will otherwise starve, people will die. And, you know, we do face this problem that the mines have been there for a long time, and some of them can wait. But they're not going to go away on their own. But as for support, mm-hmm. I'm pleased to say the biggest donor to mine action in this country is the United Nations, which obviously is supported by the member states who pay in. So that's actually everybody funding. But then other contributions are coming in from Ireland, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, Germany, big supporter. Japan is a consistent supporter of mine action, and Japan are critical because it's their funds, and actually also some from the Dutch, I think, who are supporting the national authority. So that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scratching my head for the other donors, to be honest. The Netherlands, Danish, Denmark, of course, the Scandinavian nations have helped a lot. Norway's done an awful lot in the past.
Yeah, they have to be recognized for that. That big effort on that. Now, Mr. Yerkuj, also, there is this issue of capacity building, and people that speak also about ownership and bridging the gap and all this. So when it comes, Richard mentioned about the thousands of more than 1,000 South Sudanese involved in this. How far have South Sudanese gone into learning this skill and also working on it?
Thank you. It is, this is a big responsibility, and then of course, as Richard mentioned, that the international community exerting efforts in supporting mine action program in the country. Now, government of South Sudan is also doing it because the employees that are working with us as the government, part of the government, we are under the government, being paid and being funded by the government. And then with the support, of course, said before, that we are able to do the capacity. The capacity is being built by the en masse. And, of course, through the funding from the international community, the countries he has mentioned, and Australia remain behind. Australia is also one of the good supporting country to mine action. Mm. So the capacity is being built here in order, because you cannot remove landmines unless you have trained people on job, or you train them by giving them the real training how to remove landmines. And thank God that all those who are working in the south here now are South Sudanese. Only that we have been lacking the capacity. The government cannot really fund mine clearance because it is very expensive, and there are so many priorities the government is supposed to address.
Yeah. And I just came to my mind that what about the average citizen? Because this is a concern for every South Sudanese, every single South Sudanese. I suppose to have a minimum knowledge of understanding, awareness about this risk. What are you telling them now?
Yes, it is. This is a very good question, because you see, what you have said now is the priority number one in mine clearance. This question of mine risk education. You must have to educate people, the communities that are living in contaminated areas, that of how they can be able to live in that area. Mm. And they are being told, and it is a big responsibility, that we are talking of 245,000 people have received this education.
Just last year alone?
Only 1 year alone. So we, since 2004... And I said it is a priority number one, because you have to educate these people, and after that you have to come to mine clearance.
Especially in the risk areas.
In the risk areas, that you must have to tell them that if you get a subject or an object that is you are not sure of, you need not to touch it.
Yeah.
And then you must have to report whatever you think in that area. For the communities to know that that area is contaminated, there must have been incident of landmine.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Very unfortunate. So, and automatically, this will make these people be very cautious, knowing exactly what to do. So, the mine risk education is the priority number one, as I said it, and it has been given to so many millions of people. In the south.
So what's your practical advice? I'll come back to you, Richard. What's the practical advice when somebody, for example, wants to erect his house in an area that is not sure whether it is contaminated or not, or he wants to farm, or he wants to, they want to build a school, whatever.
Well, we have what we call survey. In mine action, if you talk of mine clearance, you must have to have a survey first. So survey is number one. In an area, that is, people must have to work, you must have to report that there is this activity which is supposed to be done in this area, so that they come to us, they come to the working NGOs, so that people have to go and inspect the area first. And then if it is a school to be built, then it will have to be built after this, after the miners have already gone to that area to inspect and see into it that there is no problem. And in the agricultural areas, and it is widely expected, these people are also doing the same, and the land is to be cleared and has to be handed over to the communities that are living in that area.
Yeah. Mr. Richard, you wanted to ask something. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to that person who's out there, ask everyone around you.
Yeah.
Because when we do survey, there are no Jedi powers. Yeah. The D-miners don't have X-ray eyes. Mm. They go in and they speak to the people. They speak to the village chiefs. They speak to the authorities. They speak to the military. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, actually, is there any reason to fear this land? Because in most of this country, there isn't a reason to fear this land. You know, in the clearance program has been very effective.
Yeah.
You know, if we look at the country on a PIAM by PIAM level, in more than 80% of the PIAMs, there are now no known minefields or cluster strikes. So people, if they're living in one of those PIAMs, frankly, get on and plough. Would be my advice, but talk to the local people. But you see, the knowledge is out there amongst the community. And, you know, we talked about the risk education program, which over the years has spoken to millions and educated them. And again, there's a paradox that actually people, we do educate, they educate themselves. People avoid areas. But sadly, there's also a price to be paid in saying safe. Because when the accidents don't happen, then this falls off the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't mean the problem's gone away.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that's why we need Mine Action Day to remind people this isn't going to go away on its own.
Yeah. My last question before I go to the listeners is, I don't know whether the Mine Action Authority follows up. What happens to those who have been victims of mines? Is there any way you are following or helping those who have been affected by mines?
Thank you, Gabriel. This is one of the priorities, and it is. Let me say the priorities. What you are supposed to do in mine action or a program of mine action?
Yeah.
There is this miners education. There is mine clearance. There is victim assistance. Then you come to. Destruction of and then the advocacy. You destroy the landmines that you have in the country, whether they are in the stores or what. And like now, we don't have any landmine in the stores because we are members of mine ban treaty. Now, if the risk, as you said it, these people are supposed to be supported. And it is going, it is one of the pillars of mine action, that victims are supposed to be supported. In the very beginning, a victim is hit by a landmine. There is what we call, early support on the ground being given to these people, first aid. They are supposed to be supported right that time. Then they will have to be evacuated to the hospitals whereby they are supposed to be treated. Coming out from the hospital, there are supposed to be centers for addressing the issues of these people. Of course, you must have to pay attention to them, and they must have to be treated in any sense, given funding or whatever. Mm. Then after finishing from that, they are supposed to be given some sort of educational background on whatever activities that you can do. And so that if you are trained in carpentry, there are schools that are supposed to be given to them, plumbing, carpentry, and what. This, so that a victim is supposed to be independent in his own behaviors, because they say disability is not inability of... So any person wounded by landmines and is still alive is supposed to be given training, to capacity building, so that that person can be able to live alone.
So, for what you are, from what you are saying, you can guess that there is much need to be done to support victims of mines in South Sudan.
It is that, and then there is a program. There is this victim assistance is a program by itself, and they are being supported now internationally, and the programs are going on. Mine Action is part of it, but the Ministry of Social Welfare, the team, the leading group in this.
Both at national and local level. Richard, you want to add something?
I just wanted to, just give a shout out for the International Red Cross, who also do fantastic work, helping people with their prostheses.
With the limbs,
And, you know, getting them back on the road to recovery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Artificial limbs.
Really important work that they do.
Yeah, thanks for that. Listeners, Radio Maria with me in the studio. There are two guests who are talking to us here about the International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action. Richard Bolter, Senior Program Manager from UN Mine Action Service, and Honorable Jurkoj Barak Jurkoj, Chairperson of the National Mine Action Authority. I'll be taking your calls, and also the numbers for those who already know the numbers, and also for the new listeners. The MTN numbers are 09219029 50 and 09219020 79, and the Zain numbers are 09120629 50 and 09120620079, and the SMS line is 09296932 05, and I will be picking your calls with my guests here, who will be taking notes of what you are saying. And I have also SMS messages here. Let me see. One is from Tap Mark Dio in Bentiu. It says the United Nations from question to the United Nations for the Department of Mine Action. It says, are you ready now to clear all the areas that have been affected by the conflict in South Sudan before the people go back to their homes? That is a question. I think that goes to Richard. And Mading Malwal Alwang from Malakal, it says there have been allegations that UNMAS sometimes goes into the bushes and explode its own bullet to deceive the normal citizens. What is your take on this allegation? And these are two interesting questions. Let me pick the caller here. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, welcome.
This is my shot, sir.
Come again?
My shot.
My shot? Yes, raise your voice, because you seem to be in a noisy place. Yes, yes, my shot.
Do you get me?
Yeah, yeah. Hello? My shot, are you there? He's not there. I couldn't get him. So you keep calling, but let me give Richard the two questions. I think they were relevant to him, yes?
To UNMAS, yeah.
Yeah.
First question, are we ready to clear all the areas ahead of return? Very much so. If we can get in there safely, we've got the resources, we have a five-year plan to get on and do it. We can't do them all overnight, but over the next 5 years, we can clear them all, given peace. I mean, the call came from Unity. There's one mine road left in Unity now. That's it.
Okay.
But, you know, unexploded ordnance will continue to appear. And, you know, we're certainly ready to go out and deal with that as it happens. The second question, the allegation, I find quite amusing, that we are destroying ammunition to just, I didn't quite understand. Yes, we were very, very busy out there blowing things up and destroying it, but the allegation would mean, surely, that we're bringing it in just to do that, and I can assure you we are not doing that. You know, we're part of the humanitarian community. you know, there's always a difficult balance in this because actually blowing things up right in front of people isn't very safe. You need people to stand back and they will hear it. And obviously whenever we're doing any of our activities, we're alerting the population to the fact that there are going to be explosions going on, that there's going to be some noise. People hear about that. We're not...
Yeah,
would you rather we didn't tell them about it?
It's something you can't call the ordinary citizens to witness, otherwise.
No, but yeah. But again, I you know, I can't say enough. We're talking about the mine action community here as though it's a foreign body, and it is not.
Yeah,
it is. You know, 95% South Sudanese.
Yeah,
and they've all got eyes and ears.
Yeah,
and if we're up to no good, you would know.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, Honourable Jerkoj. Yeah.
It seems that it is a question of ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and these people may be falling short of understanding exactly what people are really doing.
Yeah.
That question also shows that there is doubt whether landmines are still there or not.
Yeah.
This is why they are saying they go to the bush, they just explode
everything. Mine allegations. Some people are saying, oh, these guys are still looking for minerals.
Some people have been saying that. Why are they still doing this when these landmines are over?
The risk is still there.
But it is a shortcoming from those people. They are not understanding it fully. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That landmines are still there.
Yeah,
there are more than 5,000 recorded victims in this country. You can testify very sincerely to the fact that this is not a fantasy problem.
Mm-hmm. This, if a person, if we say it is not only landmines that are killing people or they are being exploded or whatever. Mm-hmm. What about the Yuxos unexploded ordnance? They are still there. Wherever there is a battle fought, there must be some sort of bullets or whatever remaining in the area, or shells or whatever, RPG shells or mortar shells.
Hmm.
They can be remaining in that area.
Yes.
Again, there is another problem that there are shells that have been thrown into the area and they get into the land, deep into the soil. You cannot see them. But they equally remain dangerous to the life of people and they must have to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
So by a person saying that these people are not, it shows that there is a lack of...
It can't be approved. Yeah.
And all the clearance that's going on is subject to the scrutiny of my office, which works in partnership with Yakuchi's office. He's got people out there observing the clearance, making sure... people are doing things properly.
Yeah, it's also like kind of just guessing. It's kind of guessing.
Yes,
people
yes.
need to to really. So still, we are left with a few minutes, and those who want to ask questions or comment what is being said, they are welcome to ask. Otherwise, the network seems to be hindering the process. So as we come to the few questions, few minutes, let me see. Some callers here. Hello?
Yes, Gabriel, Yusuf Gerard.
Yes, welcome, Ageo from WOW. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate the topic of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I also welcome our guests in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what plans do they have to make sure that all the landmines that in the areas where people, you see, in the conflict-affected areas,
mm-hmm.
you see there might be landmines there mm-hmm. which are not yet discovered and they are not found by the people.
Mm-hmm.
People run to the safer places and they are not longer there. So what plans do they have to make sure that those areas,
mm-hmm.
you see,
mm-hmm.
the landmines that are in those areas are cleared before people return to their normal places? This is my first question.
Yes.
The second question is, there are shipments, both the South Sudan Mine Action Authority and the UNMIS Mine Action Service.
Okay.
Have they achieved so far? What are their achievements, if that could tell the public?
Thanks, Gil Woka from WHA for that question. And I think you can share the answer, Richard and Honorable Jurkoj.
You see, there are areas, our plans are that the remaining areas that have not yet been reached, we need to reach them in 5 years, as we stated before, for 5 years to come. So we see the plan is that we have now 5 years that we are going to clear the remaining part of the areas that have not yet been cleared. Mm-hmm. And there are so many. There are areas that I know, like Bow Bridge, between Tumbura and Wao, have not yet been touched. There were so a lot of landmines that have been planted in that area because there was, during the war, there was a very serious bottle fort in that area, and it was a contention area. So we have the plans of that landmines are supposed to be removed in those remaining areas, but there are certain factors to consider. Yeah. One is the question of funding. Two is the manpower that will be working in the area. So we have the manpower, but the question of funding is, should we be funded and we get reasonable funding together with the ONMAS, surely the companies that are working in mine clearance, commercial companies or NGOs, will have to do this work in the next 5 years.
Let me pick one caller before Richard comes in. Hello? Oops, the caller has just disappeared. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, yeah, since you asked about achievements, since the creation of South Sudan, 334 square kilometres of suspect ground has now been addressed, leaving about 18 and a half left, but it's very much the difficult part that remains.
Yeah.
The number that sticks in my mind is more than a million explosive items
have been destroyed in this
country. And that doesn't include the bullets.
Yeah.
that's bombs, grenades, mortars, rockets, that sort of thing. Explosive items, more than a million have been destroyed. More than 1,900 area clearance tasks have been addressed. 343 remain. I think, you know, there are so many metrics by which we can demonstrate that we have persevered and progressed.
An interesting question from somebody in the Palotaka. I think you know the place in Magway County. Says where they had an LRA camp. These people there, they are fearing to cultivate. What's your plan for that?
Well, it is a double plan, of course. You are like talking now. This question is the question of insecurity. So you mean to say LRA were there, and they are no longer there, and the people are still fearing going to that area? Well, it is. I think it is in what we call Imisma. Imisma is a database whereby all the recorded areas are in that in the Imisma. In Imisma, if that area has not yet been touched, surely it must have to be in our plan that during the time that is coming, we will have to go to that area in Polataka, and we will have to clear that area from the landmines.
We have been caught by time, and I will give each of you 1 minute to say concluding remarks about the importance and significance for this Mine Awareness Day, International Mine Awareness Day. Let me start with Richard.
I just wanted to say thank you for having us on so we can raise the issue. Simple message, that this problem isn't going away on its own and is being addressed by around 1,000 very brave South Sudanese who are out there every day making the country safe, and they're the people we should be saluting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Honourable Jurkoj Baraj.
Yeah, I would have to say that it is, thank you, it is, this question of mine clearance or mine action is not a work of ONMAS and National Mine Action Authority alone. It is a general work. It is a work of each and every person in the country, the communities. We should cooperate and tell us exactly if there is any danger you have felt or you have seen somewhere. You must have to report it to us so that people are quickly sent to that area. Even in Juba here, people are still reporting, and landmines are being removed inside Juba town here. Maybe Juba has expanded and has become very big. These are the areas we were also in no man's land by then, during the war, and then plantation of landmines were made. So I would like to tell to each and every person that let us cooperate and see this question of landmines a serious problem. Fight it all, and we shall be saved. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jurkoj Bara Jurkoj, the chairperson of the National Mine Action Authority. And thank you very much, Richard Balter, senior program manager for the United Nations Mine Action Service. And we have been discussing the International Day for Mine Action Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action, which falls on the 4th of April each year. But we have brought it here forward for this awareness. Thank you very much. And we hope, we wish you a successful action on mine clearance in South Sudan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that is all from me, Gabriel Shadar, on Nationwide Today. Thank you very much.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.